Zorba Pastor on Your Health is pre-recorded. From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with family doc Zorba Pastor. We'll spend the next hour with you in our virtual doctor's office.
Absolutely virtual, but we are actually here.
That's true.
So maybe virtual, but we are not virtual.
Zorba, I'm not hearing that piped-in elevator music you sometimes hear in the doctor's office.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. He can't even hum it.
What? Can we maybe get Kenny G in here or something?
There we got it.
Live elevator
Kenny
music?
Kenny G.
Is Kenny G listening out there? Who knows? All right, we'll talk healthy living. We'll walk through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls and emails. And a few of your voicemails as well. And if you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. And along with those calls, we'll discuss a few healthy living topics today, Zorba.
Right. A very interesting study on LSD and the relief of taking LSD for anxiety. There's been issues with psilocybin over the last couple of years, and the feds are finally allowing some of the drugs that they label to be as bad as heroin into the ability to actually do some research on. So we'll tell some talk about some very provocative research. And then women may need less exercise than men for the pain. Cardiovascular benefits, but it's important for women to get strength exercise. I'm going to talk about two studies that really show the importance of exercise in a woman's good health.
Mm-hmm. And how about that special recipe today?
Kung Pao Brussels sprouts.
Ooh.
I mean, did I say it the right way? Kung Pao.
I think maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you know,
we'll
you don't
out.
Know. That's right. You don't know. You've got to know what you know. And what you don't know in life. That's how
wise
we get
words.
Through. That's right.
All right, to the phones we go at 800.
Semi-wise, that's right.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's welcome our first caller now. This is a listener in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. Zorba, thank you for all your wonderful information. I sure enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Really, really, really appreciate that. We always like it when people listen and actually learn something from it. So thank you so much.
Well, I did. And what's prompted me to call is the other day you were talking about drug prices and the people ask you, what should we do? And I wanted to share what I'm doing in terms of taking the bull by the horn. And do people really know that they can buy the drugs themselves from outside the country at really better prices than in some cases we can get them here?
Oh, you hit it right on the head. That's definitely in some cases. It depends. Also, people sometimes can buy the drugs cheaper by getting a good RX coupon and paying cash than they can from their copay. But what do you get getting back? What do you get from Canada?
I get antidepressant drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a third of the cost of what it would normally be for me here.
Amazing.
I don't use my insurance to purchase this at all.
Right.
I've been doing it for over 8 years, mm-hmm. and I've moved from Minnesota to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Happy to be here. And
great weather. Much better than Minnesota. Our weather,
much better.
Our weather is primo. You cross the border, and it's sunny,
paradise.
And it's bright, and you know it's 70 degrees. That's right.
And I would tell people not to give up. It took me a little persistence, but when the price more than tripled or quadrupled, mm-hmm. Because the product went from, you know, being a brand name down to where they wanted me to buy the generic, and I can't for health reasons, then I went online and started learning what are my options. And when I learned the options, then I had to learn
how to
their
do
background,
it.
And
yeah.
I researched that,
yeah.
and I had to talk to my doctor, and I had to make sure they would be willing mm-hmm. to send prescriptions,
sure.
and for a while there, it was going fine, and then we had a glitch a few years back here when nothing was allowed to come in from outside, but you know, persist.
Yeah, no, you've got to persist.
You can really do this.
Yes. But first of all, you've got some good points. So for many years, when Viagra, there was a big issue, when Viagra was name brand here and was generic in Canada, I would write prescriptions for guys who wanted Viagra, and all they had to do was take a picture of the prescription and send that through their phone to the pharmacy in Canada. That was good enough for the pharmacy in Canada to actually send it. But they had to get a written prescription from your doctor. Easy to do. Advair, an inhaler that cost name brand $350, $400 a month if you paid for it, was $79 a month through the Canadian pharmacies. And basically pretty much all the inhalers that are expensive in America are pretty much cheap in Canada. But you bring up a really important point. So first of all, if you're looking at your drugs, you want to go online and look at a Canadian pharmacy. Finding the right Canadian pharmacy, ask your doctor, because they may actually send some to some reputable pharmacies. You don't want to get it from one of those fake pharmacies. That's one issue. And number two, go to goodrx.com, because sometimes it's cheaper to buy stuff in cash. But you actually did the work and you've been doing it. How did you manage to get into that? That was a very smart thing to do, and you took the bull by the horns.
Well, I did, because of price.
Because of price.
My copay was $18, and it went off a copay up to $560. I said, I can't do this.
Right.
So
right.
My choice is I don't get my antidepressant, which is not a choice, or I find an alternative. And I'm used to kind of ferreting things out. Your program is so wonderful for helping with communication, by the way. That's what this is all about.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank
people.
You so much.
So that's where it all started. Well, was I couldn't afford to be without, and I couldn't afford to get here. And I have confidence in other countries. And the company I work with, I know what country it's made in.
Right.
I have my choice of which one I want to buy from.
Right.
So have total confidence that I'm getting the exact same product.
Right. That's exactly it. And congratulations on doing that. And thank you so much for sharing that. There are a lot of people who are listening who are going to listen to this, and some of those people are going to take their lead and actually work on this. So thank you so much for sharing, and we appreciate the call. And thank you so much for the compliment. That's very, very kind. You have kind words for us.
Thank you much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413.
You know, that's the reason why we're here.
Yeah.
We're here to give, like, a discussion, have people do it. You know, people can then be empowered to actually make some changes in their life. They can save money and get better stuff. And I always think the best patient is the educated patient, and that's what we do. Although at times we are entertaining.
At times. Rarely at times.
It's a serious matter in medicine. Serious, serious, serious.
All right. Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's get to our first healthy living topic today, Zorba. We're talking about LSD, research.
Yeah, lysergic acid diethylamide. So let's talk first of all about the history of what this was. So this initially was a drug developed by the Sandoz company for migraine headaches.
Hmm.
That's what it was for.
Really?
Because it's a derivative of something called ergot. Ergot grows on rye and some other things. I can't remember exactly it. And when people, periodic, it was a mold, I believe, and people would get ergot poisoning, and they would start to see strange things.
Interesting.
But they originally thought that this was a migraine headache drug, and you can imagine the first person when they tested it, and this is back in the 50s, and took it for migraine headache, did not necessarily get rid of their migraine headache, but went on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was going to be studied at places like Harvard. Enter Timothy Leary. Do you know
Leary? Heard of Timothy Leary.
Okay.
Drop out.
Yeah, turn on.
I butchered
turn
that.
Turn on. Tune in, drop out.
There it is.
And a whole bunch of issues, by the way. If you ever want to read a biography of him, there was one done by the Rolling Stone editor that it really tells you a lot about what was going on in the 60s. Anyway, he took this, made it like you should just take this drug. It was not regulated. The feds got really upset and put it in the same category as heroin. Now, heroin is different than LSD, and heroin kills people. But what happens is, because it's in a Category 1 under narcotics, you have not been able to study it. In other words, it's stopping study for 50 years. Bad. Bad, bad fed. Can you say that? Bad, bad feds.
You want me to repeat that?
Well, I repeated it twice. That was good enough. But, I mean, it's the same as psilocybin. Some of these psychedelics may actually help with people who have serious mental problems who are not helped by other medications. And this was an encouraging study. It was LSD. It was a particular study which was a derivative of LSD, which is, like I said, lysergic acid, diethylamide. It was a slight derivative. And they took a number of patients with anxiety disorder and took them on a trip. In other words, sir, just like the microdosing and the higher dosing of psilocybin.
In a controlled setting, I assume?
Absolutely, in a controlled setting with somebody sitting there. They chose the right person. What's the right person? We won't go into the details, but basically it's not for everyone, obviously. And they only one time. That's it. And at 12 weeks, they found out, even at up to 12 weeks, there was a 48% remission rate from generalized anxiety disorder. In other words, one trip did it. Now, what does that mean? Well, I mean, we've got SSRI antidepressants. We have tricyclic antidepressants. We have benzodiazepines such as Valium, Xanax. These are drugs that are highly addictive. We have buspirone, which is a tranquilizer, which doesn't work very well, but it's not addictive. And we still have a lot of people highly anxious. And they may just be anxious. Not anxious with reason. They're just anxious. And so, and some of those people, especially if they have severe depression, we still use ECT, you know, electroconvulsive therapy. But we don't use LSD and we don't use psilocybin and we don't use psychedelics. And the reason is we haven't been able to study it. And that's because the feds have said, bad, bad researchers. They're like, shame on you. You can't study these drugs. They're too dangerous. And the answer is, like a lot of drugs, there's danger. We have opioids that we use for serious pain, but our danger was we gave too much opioids out to people, you know, and so we have 100,000 deaths from overdose from fentanyl and opioids. The time has come to be able to look at psychedelics and see if they have a purpose in the armamentarium for people who have severe anxiety because they suffer. If you're anxious all the time, you've been anxious sometime in your life.
Sure.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Imagine if you woke up every morning and you were anxious.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
No, it'd be terrible. And imagine if you took a drug that made you sleepy, that had potential side effects of addiction, and you had to choose between that and being anxious. The reality is that's not always a good choice either. Mm-hmm. This may be a drug that's useful in a controlled environment.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Call the show, leave a voicemail if you want. Let's go to voicemail now. This is a listener from Chicago.
I was just calling to ask about weight gain and hormones. We recently went through a terminal illness with my father, and during that illness, over the course of 2 years, I gained about 30 pounds from stress eating and just not eating the best and not necessarily taking the best care of myself. And he has since passed. And now we're all working on trying to, you know, get ourselves back to a better place with our own health. And I gained weight and I've lost about 10 pounds. I'd like to keep going, but things have sort of plateaued. And I hear a lot about cortisol, you know, high cortisol and stress and weight gain and weight retention. And just wondering more about what role like hormones play and if there are other things I can do besides diet and exercise. Thank you.
It's so tough, you know, and it's a good, this is sort of a good follow-up with anxiety. Here it is. You have anxiety because you've got a loved one in the family who is sick, and all of a sudden you do more stress eating. And yes, you have higher cortisol. You have more flight or fright awareness. You know, adrenaline starts to, you know, push out into your brain, you know, well, not from your brain, but adrenaline pushes out from the adrenal glands, and all of a sudden you're stressed, and then you eat more, and you're anxious all the time, and it's a terrible situation. And what's hard is putting on weight is easy, taking off weight is hard. We know that. I mean, that's just the way the body is going to retain things because it's feast or famine. That's what we were, I mean, until pretty much 150 years ago, there was famine. And there was famine all over the world even 40 years ago. So there's no magic here. I mean, there's no magic. You have to go through the usual things of looking at how you eat. If you generally, if you go back to your previous eating patterns, you will begin to attain that weight. But how many calories do you think you need, Carl, in a day? Just take a guess.
2,500, 3,000, I don't
know.
Depends
on 3,000. Depends if you're busy, if you're running around with your kids, probably 2,000, 2,400, somewhere in that range. If you're sitting around not doing anything, you know, you need fewer calories. But to lose weight, once you go down to, we'll say, 1,500, which is really hard to do, you start to lose weight. But when you do that, your body starts to absorb more calories from your gut. Mm. I mean, it goes, hey, I got to get more calories out of that gut because there's not any food around, you know, because that keeps the body going. So I have no magic bullet for this. Now, if you're still anxious and you're eating from anxiety, antidepressants can be quite useful. And bupropion would be the antidepressant I would try to do, because bupropion, which is a really good antidepressant, often works with people who have ritualized behaviors such as obsessive compulsive disorder. It helps with people. It helps people who want to quit smoking. So sometimes that helps when you have a behavior where you're eating and you're eating because of anxiety. So I'd look towards bupropion with that. And there's a combination of bupropion with a drug called topiramate, which is an anti-seizure drug, which you may be able to get from your doctor. And that combination together might just help.
And any natural remedies, maybe solutions for her?
The natural remedy is you've got to look at what you eat.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, it's amazing how many calories are
med
just
diet, exercise,
that's
right?
That's right.
No, I'm the doctor.
Yes. Do you take Venmo? That's what I want to know.
What's Venmo? Is there a generic for that? 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before the break, Zorba, let's check in again with your favorite do-gooders, the Grammar Police.
Oh, no. It's a grammar.
One day, I am going to sing that so well. I mean, I really am going to
wait,
do that.
One day, you're already
That's
singing
right.
it. Great.
You got it.
Sounds amazing. All right, Zorba, this message came from our Facebook page from a listener in New York City named Jan, who writes, "Hi, Dr. Zorba. I have greatly enjoyed your show for years, and I always learn a great deal. However, I must lean in and correct you after hearing your show today. While I am relieved to finally hear you add the missing R from turmeric, I plead with you to remove it from the proper use of the word stave rather than starve when referring to, quote, stave off a cold. Instead, you repeatedly stated starve off a cold."
I say starve versus stave.
She's saying you've said starve off a cold, but it's stave off a cold.
How about knave? How about we're knave?
Knave off a cold?
Knave. Well, just you're a knave,
I don't
know.
If that applies.
That's right. Do you Jan starve continues. A cold or feed a fever or fever cold and start a
fever
cold?
You know,
that's right.
Just to finish up with Jan here, Jan says,
"Of course,
also,
we have to finish up. Please,
please remember
please,
to
give
add
Jan,
the,
give Jan the mic.
Yeah. All right, Jan. Please remember to add the S here in tablespoonsful rather than incorrectly
back,
as you did
tablespoonfuls.
I can't say it.
I'm going to say TBL from now on, TBL, and let people interpret that the way they want to.
Or big
right?
T and little
big T,
like
little
Tom
T.
says.
Yeah, big T, little T.
I like
big
that.
T, big
little
T, little T. Perfect.
Well, thanks, Jan. A lot of helpful tips.
Thank
for
you,
sure.
Jen. You know what? We do appreciate those helpful tips.
We
even appreciate the unhelpful tips.
Trips. You're just still thinking about LSD research.
Well, LSD, right. Moving right along.
Do you want to join the ever-growing grammar police? Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
We'll have more of your calls coming up, more emails and voicemails, and we might even show you how to make Brussels sprouts
Ooh,
taste good.
Delicious. That's right.
That's our goal.
That's right.
So keep it right here on Zorba
Pastor
on your health. Carl Christensen in Buck Studio. This is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Dr. Zorba's right across the table from me.
Right,
taking
directly,
your questions,
directly,
answering
right.
calls.
Yeah, answering calls, answering questions, taking calls. Yeah, that's what I'm
and
doing.
And cooking things, too.
And we are going to cook Kung right. Pao Brussels sprouts. Ooh. Now, do you like Brussels sprouts?
Yeah, I did yeah. want to kick off this yeah. recipe. Right. I forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
We got a voicemail about Brussels sprouts.
We did.
From
yeah.
a
yeah.
listener in La Crosse.
I'm calling to you. Ask Dr. Zorba, does he have any recipes for making Brussels sprouts
Whoa.
Palatable?
Well, palatable.
That sure would be a
palatable.
Challenge. All right. Thank you.
I don't
we
know.
Can make
they're,
them palatable.
You know, they're little cabbages. That's what they
okay.
look like, really.
All right. Let's do this.
Okay. Start out with 2 pounds of Brussels sprouts halved. A couple tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil.
2 big tea extra virgin olive oil.
You're going to use some kosher salt and some pepper.
Yep.
Tablespoonful of sesame oil.
1 big tea sesame oil.
Now, where do you buy your sesame oil?
The grocery store.
Is
that where you get that stuff?
Yes, of course. But buy a small bottle. And the reason is if you buy a big bottle,
oh,
it
yeah.
goes over time.
Right.
It can go rancid. A small bottle of sesame soap.
Okay.
A couple cloves of garlic.
2 cloves garlic
you
minced.
You like garlic?
Sure, love
you
garlic.
You could add 4 cloves.
I usually double garlic every
garlic,
time. Yeah.
Or 8 cloves of garlic.
That's
you know.
Maybe too much garlic.
Maybe too much. Tablespoonful of cornstarch.
1 big tea cornstarch.
2 tablespoonfuls of low-sodium soy sauce.
2 big tea low-sodium soy sauce.
You're going to use some water.
1/2 cup of water. Now,
You're
what kind use, of water are we going to
yeah,
use
water,
here?
Water.
Just water.
Yeah,
okay.
Water, water,
gotcha.
Water, water. 2 teaspoons of rice vinegar.
2 little tea rice vinegar.
Now, it's got to be rice vinegar. There are many different kinds of vinegar. So you want to, if you don't have rice vinegar, buy it because
okay.
it does taste different. 1 tablespoonful of hoisin sauce.
1 big tea hoisin sauce.
I hope
sauce.
You're writing this down, Carl.
Well, I got it. I have it
that's
written
right.
in front
oh,
of
yeah,
me
yeah.
right here.
That's right. Tablespoonful of packed brown sugar.
1 big tea packed brown sugar.
2 teaspoons of garlic chili sauce.
That's an important one right there. 2 little tea garlic chili sauce.
If you love it, you could put 2 tablespoonfuls.
Oh, that's going to be spicy.
Yes, that would be spicy.
Which I would love.
Pinch of red pepper flakes.
Pinch of red pepper flakes.
Pinch of sesame seeds.
Sesame seeds.
Some green onions.
Green onions.
And chopped peanuts.
Important.
Okay, so
chopped,
I've got a question
roasted
for
peanuts.
You. Where do you get your peanuts if you're making a recipe?
At
like
the baseball game, of course.
You
get them fresh. Isn't that where they grow them?
It's what your kids probably
no,
think.
No, probably at the grocery store.
But I had trouble getting chopped peanuts.
Oh.
So then I got raw peanuts and chopped them. I have a little chopper at home, and
okay.
that's what I've done. Because sometimes it's hard to find chopped peanuts, so you may have to chop them yourself.
Gotcha.
But most grocery stores do not have chopped peanuts.
Why is that?
You didn't
that?
Know that.
No. Why? Yeah,
I don't know. Ask the grocery store. Ask them why they don't have it. Go in there.
All right, let's make it.
Preheat the oven to 425. Now, on a large rim baking sheet, toss the Brussels sprouts with olive oil, season with a little salt and pepper. Bake them until they're tender, crispy, about 20 minutes. Then put them in a large bowl. Keep them nice and warm. Cover it with some tin foil. Then, in a small skillet over medium heat, heat up the sesame oil. Add the garlic until fragrant. That's about a minute. Stir in the cornstarch. Add the soy sauce, water, rice vinegar, hoisin sauce, brown sugar, garlic, chili paste, seasoning. You're adding all that stuff together, which means you've got to get it all together in the first place and measure it out. Little salt and pepper if you want to. Red pepper flakes. You're going to taste that. Bring it to a boil. Reduce the heat for about 3 minutes and then pour it over the Brussels sprouts, toss it to combine, put them again on a baking sheet and broil them until they're glazed and sticky.
Mm.
Take it out and garnish with peanuts, sesame seeds, and green onions before serving. Now, this seems like a lot of work because it is.
But it's going to make them taste so great.
Well, and also what I've discovered with some of the recipes that I like is the first time I take it, I make a couple of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it right. I want it this way or that way. But after I do it 2 or 3 times, it tastes better, and then it becomes something that I like to make. So
mm-hmm.
if you like Brussels sprouts, and I do, and if you like the taste of Kung Pao, you will like this recipe. And there's a magic way you can find it, and I'm going to give that to Carl. What's our magic way that they can get this recipe, Carl? Come on. Put on your thinking cap and let us know.
Is it the World Wide Web?
It's the World Wide Web. That's ZorbaPastor.org. You don't even have to put www before you put it anymore. It's ZorbaPastor.org, of course, through Facebook.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go back to those phones now. Let's help out a caller in El Paso, Texas. Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
I do a lot of repair handyman service work, so I do this all the time. But all of a sudden, one day, I was doing some repairs under a kitchen sink, and I had to sit, turn, and then kind of turn my head again so much to look underneath.
Oh, sure.
And I feel like I got spun out, and I wanted to see what that was.
Yeah, so you mean you felt, like, dizzy, or tell me what was...
Yeah, spinning. So what it is so I sat down and then turned 180 degrees and then put my head under the sink and looked up. My body was, like, contorted, and so in my head, like, everything started... I guess my eyes, they started spinning, but
right,
it was just...
Right, right. That's exactly what dizzy. It is. How long did it last?
So it was a couple seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But when I try to get out of it, it would keep going, so I had to lay there so it can go away.
Right. That can often take some time. So has it happened more than once? Has it happened again, or just that one time?
So that one day, that one time that it happened, like when it finally went away, I stood up, you know, walked around, drank some water.
Sure.
Felt better. Right. And then, but when I went back to doing the same exact position, when I got it, it came back. So I didn't do that position anymore.
Since that time, has it bothered you when you get up in the morning? Does the world sort of spin at that time?
Yes. So in the morning, and I feel like I have another reason why it's doing it, but yeah, so in the morning, it still feels like that wants to come.
Uh-huh.
Even when I lay down too at night.
So let me tell you what this probably is. There's something called benign positional vertigo.
And they're actually vertigo.
Vertigo. So, you know, all of a sudden, like you said, your eyes spin and you get into this position, and it usually bothers people also in the morning when they get up. I've had it. It happens to me intermittently. And I've got a treatment for you. It's something called Epley's Maneuver. And what you do is you go to the internet, go to the World Wide Web, we were talking about earlier, and you put in Epley's Maneuver. And you will see a whole few different ways of doing it. Usually what pops up is a little cartoon version. And it's something that you do in the morning and in the evening. The theory is that there's a little piece of almost calcium that's in the balance mechanism in your ears, and it's gone out of its normal place. And what you want to do is you want to put that back into its normal place. Kind of hard to explain, but this calcium, that's the theory, is not in the right place. And by doing Epley's Maneuver, you can get it back. And what you do is you do it twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening, and usually it will go away. And it may come back. Comes back to me every couple of years, and then what I do is I immediately do Epley's Maneuver, and it gets that calcium out of the wrong place into the right place. It's a very simple treatment. You can go to a physical therapist. They'll do it, but frankly, most people can do it at home because they go to YouTube and they look it up. That's what I would recommend.
Thank you very much.
Take care. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go to a voicemail now. This is a listener. Now, don't play it yet, Brad, because this is a listener in Tennessee, Sevierville, Tennessee.
Sevierville?
And you know how I like to look up notable people?
Maybe Sevierville? It sounds like Hootville.
Sevierville,
you know, it sounds
yeah.
like Dr. Seussville.
Well,
Sevierville.
I bet it's a cool town because there's a pretty famous person who went to high school in Sevierville,
okay,
Tennessee. Try
to guess. That's like a famous person who went to high school. I mean, there's no hint there. Okay, Ronald Reagan.
No,
I mean,
okay,
you want me to guess.
This is a woman. Mm-hmm. She's a famous country
Dolly
singer.
Dolly Parton.
Yes. That's right.
The only
You're correct.
Woman country singer practically I know, besides the Dixie Chicks, but I have
okay.
no idea that.
Dolly Parton, yeah.
She went to high school in Sevierville, Tennessee. Yeah, Tennessee.
Maybe she's listening. I mean, we're on there.
That would
so maybe
be nice.
Dolly,
maybe
are you listening? I'm a huge fan.
Well, you know what? I am a fan.
Could you call us sometime?
I would love to. I would
call
go
the show.
To, I would go to a concert of hers, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, she's
a national treasure.
She is a national treasure.
She's incredible. All right. So this is a listener in not Dolly Parton, probably not, but this is a listener in Sevierville, Tennessee.
Well, maybe it's Dolly Parton's friend.
That's true.
That's right.
Hello. My question is currently, I run a lot and have an ankle issue where it bothers me every once in a while. It doesn't bother me all the time, but it's bothering me today. I pushed through it yesterday. I'm going to push through it today. Should I push through it? And it will carry over into the week and I'll have to go around it, or should I take a day off? It's hard ego-wise to take a day off. but I do kind of feel like it's a good idea. But then it's always hard when you take a day off to get back going straightforward again, if that makes sense. Thank you. Have a good day.
Well, you know, it does make sense at one level, and it is silly not to do it at another level. So it's a function of how it feels. So if you have quite a bit of pain afterwards, taking a day or two off is good because your body's saying, hey, wait a minute. You stretch this a little bit more. You push this a little bit more. I mean, you've got to look at pain. You know, there's good pain and bad pain. After I exercise with my trainer, sometimes I ache the next day, but it's a different ache than if I bang myself up. You know, and it's an actual injury. So you've got to look at your body and know your body. But taking off a day or so can be really good for your body. And so it can be something that's useful. So I think it's pain is your guide, and then how you feel is your guide. Now, when you take off, let's say you're jogging, it doesn't mean that you don't do anything. You can actually do range of motion activities. You go to YouTube if you don't know what they are, and you do some range of motion activities. Maybe you do some yoga stretches. You do something different. Or you get on a bike. A bike is not the same as jogging. You're doing range of motion on the bike. Good for your knees, good for your ankles, good for your balance, especially a stationary bike. You don't have to worry about putting your foot down, something like that. So you can pick a different exercise to do, and then you can pay attention to the pain in your body, because sometimes we actually injure ourselves and have to heal. Carl, have you ever injured yourself?
Yeah. I broke my arm when I was seven.
Yep. Well, that doesn't count.
That was.
I'm sorry.
Good,
when you're seven,
cool story, bro.
Seven-year-olds. You tell a seven-year-old not to run and play, and you know what they do? They don't pay any attention to you. How about as an adult? You weren't an adult at seven.
No,
you were seven.
No, yeah. I wasn't. Yeah. But I had a knee injury from tennis a couple years ago.
You do?
It took some time. I just had to not play, and I had to wear a brace a lot. And ice it a lot.
Yeah, you had to give it some time. It's really a function of how much pain and how much injury. So the answer is your body is telling you something. Pay attention.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before the break, Zorba, time to log in to the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page. This is another edition of Facebook Feedback. Are you doing the mouth pops there?
I'm doing mouth. I'm not pretty good at it, am I? No, not bad, very good.
Not bad.
Yeah,
all
but
right.
Not good.
That's okay. Right in the middle, how about? All right, Zorba, this message came from Carrie in Spokane, Washington, who writes, "Hello, Dr. Zorba. I have a question about long-haul COVID. My 52-year-old brother got COVID in 2021 and still has symptoms such as tingling and numbness in his feet, mental fogginess, and tight heaviness in his chest. He has not found anyone who can help or give him any direction to get a resolution. What should he do? Thanks so much for your advice."
Well, this is still an issue at hand with long-haul COVID. I mean, it's a real syndrome. It really happens. The brain fog being kind of the most difficult part of long-haul COVID, and we don't have a lot of those answers yet. I wish I had a magic treatment for it. And, you know, you would tell people, well, you have to adapt to it. You have to do something. You got to bring yourself up the energy. You've got to take some extra time for things. I don't have a clear answer for this because, frankly, nobody has a clear answer for this. And some of the people, especially who got COVID prior to being immunized, are the ones that seem to be more troubled with it. Now, the good news is that it does appear over time to resolve in over 90% of the people. It does appear to be that way. So even if you have long-haul COVID and it's 1 year down the line, there still is a possibility that on year number two and year number three, you're going to feel better. So that's the good news. We don't know what to do specifically to make it better other than trying to stay healthy, exercise, eat right, all the usual stuff for wellness. So that's my answer. It's not a good answer. It's not satisfying, and that's because COVID was so awful.
It was. Do you have a health question for the good doc? Just post on our Facebook page or send us an old-fashioned email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
You laughing at old-fashioned?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Email's kind of old at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, don't you think? You think so? Yeah, no, yeah. I look at my emails all the time.
But it was an older technology.
It's an older technology. Yeah,
we still use it a
older,
lot. But
that's right, older.
It's been decades now.
Email is older?
Okay.
I can tell you something. I am so old. I remember airmail. You don't know what airmail is. airmail is.
I know airmail.
Yeah, but what? No, no. It was an extra stamp. It cost more than a regular stamp.
Oh, I thought you were talking about just mail on an airplane.
No, it was an airmail stamp, so it got there quicker and it cost extra money. You don't know what that. Do you know what a stamp is?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's when you go to a concert and they stamp your hand like you got in, right? Anyways, we have much more of the show to come. We'll hear more of your calls, more of your voicemails and emails, and we'll discuss another healthy living topic. So keep it here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. Carl Christensen in Buck Studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. He's right over there. He's answering your healthy living questions. Yeah, the number to call if you have one is 8, if you have a number. No, if you have a question, 800-462.
We'll give you the number if you don't have it.
We have the number.
That's right. We have the number.
And it is 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. But first, Zorba, another healthy living topic here. Women need less exercise than men for the same benefits?
Well, let's talk about women and exercise. So first of all, there are different benefits. We all need exercise, right?
Sure.
I have to do something. So let's talk about this study, and then I want to also talk about another study that's come out since this study came out. Mm. So researchers looked at women, they looked at vigorous exercise, and it was a study of studies, you know, where they look over time and see how much exercise do you really need? And roughly there were a little over 400,000 adult men and women in the study, and they looked at the exercise program. Once again, it's not one study, a bunch of different studies. And they found that if women get about 2.5 hours of vigorous aerobic exercise a week from a survival point of view, that compares to men who need about 4 to 5 hours from a mortality point of view. So this is from the American Journal of Cardiology, a very important exercise, that regular physical exercise mattered. Women did not need it as much. And if you looked at the mortality risk for women, it dropped by maybe 20 or 25% if they did that. Men needed more exercise. So that's at one end. But there's a recent study that came out that didn't dispute this, but it added something to this, and it had to do with strength exercise. So when you exercise, do you do anything, Carol, to build up your strength?
Not as much as I should. I've been meaning to add that to the regimen, but
well,
I haven't yet.
It turns out that's actually critically important.
I bet.
And men are more likely to engage in strength exercise than women. It kind of makes sense. It's something men did more strength exercising often when they were younger. And women did not. Now that I'm making a generalization, that generalization has not changed in a certain way. It's changed with the young girls who are coming up to be women. But women often do not engage in the same strength exercising as men do. And it turns out that's also important. So it's not just getting your heart going, it's getting the other muscles going too. So they may not need as much aerobic exercise as men to get the same benefit, but they're not engaging, many women are not engaging in the strengthening exercise to get benefit. And it can be exercise that you do that's isometric or isotonic, it can be exercise you do with weights, it can be exercise that you do with plain old-fashioned calisthenics, push-ups or modified push-ups, that's really important. So how much exercise do you get besides running after your kids? I mean, it's hard, hard. That's exercise, right?
Yeah, that's mental strength training, I feel like. Well, I would say I try to get 3 to 4 days
what
in
do you do?
A week. I ride like a stationary bike, it's play
good.
Tennis.
That's good.
Yeah.
Play tennis is good.
Play some basketball.
So, but maybe you should add some weights to that.
I should. I know I should.
You know
should.
What? Maybe some weights. I mean, 5 minutes. Minutes twice a week. 10 minutes twice a week. You need to get some weights in the basement, or you simply do some push-ups in the basement, or do something else. But that's an important part that we often miss with exercise. So this study shows women do not need as much in terms of aerobic exercise, but the other study that recently came out shows that women are not doing strength training, and every woman should add strength training to her exercise regime if she wants to stay healthy.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go back to those phones now. Let's try to help out a caller in the Norwegian stronghold of Stoughton, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hello there.
How can we help?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm curious. I have had COVID now 3 times in the last 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And ever since I got COVID, I have started to have ringing in my ears pretty badly when I get up in the morning. And if I have a drink at night, which I sometimes do, obviously, being an older person, the ringing in the morning seems to be even worse, like louder when I get up.
So how old are you?
62.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm actually in real estate.
So did you, when you were younger, were you around loud noises? Did you shoot guns? Did you just go to rock concerts?
I probably did all those, not so much the guns, but some.
Mm-hmm.
And I also was a coach, rowing coach for years, and unfortunately, some of the programs didn't have as much money as they should have, so I had to sit back by the engine, which didn't help my hearing at all. But
right. So you got all those things in there. How'd you get into being a rowing coach?
Long story, but I was picking up a friend at the Wisconsin Boathouse one day and came down to practice to go take my friend to dinner, and the coach turned around and was yelling at people and said, he looked at me and said, "How much do you weigh?" And I said, "About 125 pounds. He said, "Good, get in the boat." So I became a coxswain for the rowing team for 4 years and then a coach for about 18.
Oh, wow. That's pretty. That is pretty good. That's very interesting. Get in the boat. That's right. Get in the boat. You're part of it. So, so first of all, you've got tinnitus, tinnitus. We pronounce it both ways, either way, you know, and COVID. Anything can make it bad. Allergies can make it bad. Nasal congestion can make it bad. COVID certainly is one of the things that can make anything bad, amplify anything within your body. And you've got undoubtedly, as you said, you were in the motor. You know, we all, you know, most of us listen to loud music when we were younger. You know, and if you shot some guns, of course, that alone can do it. I've got some tinnitus in my right ear, worse than my left ear, because Jordy Lewis put a cap gun into my ear when I was 6 or 7.
Oh, wow.
Jordy, if you're listening, I've lost track of you after all these years, and I'm still upset because I've got tinnitus.
Wow.
You know, I was 7, you were 6, should have never done it. But anyway, so we've got, I'm just ringing on Jordy. So we do have that from the past. And the issue is things like alcohol can actually make it a little bit worse. You know, the real issue is we don't have a treatment for it. How much does it bother you, and when does it bother you?
You know, it's mostly when I get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I wake up at 3 in the morning, which,
yeah,
you know,
sure,
I tend to do in the middle of the night quite a bit. And I'll wake up and my ears are just ringing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to get back to sleep after that.
It is. So, you know, one of the things about that is you actually turn something on. It turns out when there's something in the background, the tinnitus tends to decrease. We don't know why. Part of the subconscious in our brain, it just goes towards other things. So I, for myself, because I have tinnitus, I always have something in the background. You know, I have music or I have public radio or something. And even in the middle of the night, it doesn't bother me, but if it does bother me, I actually have earphones in the room, and sometimes I put on my earphones and I listen to something in the middle of the night that's boring. So I usually go to something from my library, and in the middle of the night, if I'm bothered with tinnitus, I listen to Confucius. And let me tell you, there is nothing more boring than listening to Confucius when you're trying to go to sleep. It's like, puts you to sleep. But that's the ultimate answer, is to sort of dissuade your brain into something else. And for people who have serious trouble, there's something called cognitive behavioral therapy, which you don't sound like you need. But, yeah, COVID will make it worse. So I have another question. So you were 125 when you got in the boat. How much do you weigh now?
About 185.
185.
Yeah, I filled out. I'm not going to say I'm huge, but I have definitely filled out over the years.
So. You wouldn't be in the boat as a coxswain now, right? Is that
would not no, be? It would sink it probably.
But you loved coaching it. What was it like coaching the men and the women that you coached? I mean, these are tall people who really moved that boat. What was that like?
You know, I got pretty lucky because I had a lot of outstanding athletes over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had one Olympian. I might have another one here coming up.
Wow.
I got all these national team kids. I think the exciting thing for me, obviously, I'm a little bit of an adrenaline junkie, so winning is feeding that habit.
Sure. It's good. It's a good
as
habit.
As I got older, you know, it was more really about just seeing the kids be successful.
Uh-huh.
I really loved it. I missed it. If it weren't for having to retire someday, you know, I'd probably still be in it, but real estate pays the bills and lets me retire. So.
That's exactly it. Well, Coach, it was great, and it's great to hear that. And it is wonderful to do stuff that really gets you moving and keeps you alive. And as I said, it's sound that actually will decrease that tinnitus a bit. And as you've noted, alcohol sometimes will make things worse. Caffeine will make things worse. If you go to the web, you'll see a lot of junk science of things that will cure tinnitus. It's all not true. I could say another word that begins with the letter B, but I won't say it.
Boat?
Boat. Thank you, Carl.
That's what I figured because, yeah, of course, I looked it up once, and now Facebook is feeding me 5 fixes for it a day that I should go try. So good to know they don't work.
That's right. So, well, thanks very much. Thanks a lot, and you take
Thank
care
you.
Now.
Appreciate the time.
Take care.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's take a listener email. The following question came from Dan in Jacksonville, Florida, who writes, I'm a 63-year-old male and a retired physician. And just a quick question just from me,
sure,
Zorba.
Of course.
I've always noticed when a doctor emails the show, they never say I'm a doctor. They say that they're a physician.
Yes.
Is that why is that? Why do you call yourself a doctor or do you say physician?
You know,
is this just a weird nitpick from me?
I never paid attention to that. Seriously.
Yeah.
I don't know when I call myself a physician or a doctor. When I think about,
If you're writing, maybe it's an email thing. You're writing something. Like, you're not going to write, I'm a doctor.
I never really thought about that. But you know what? It's in my, I'll think about it for this.
Just think about it the rest of the day.
So when they write, they go, I'm a physician.
I'm a physician.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
That always happens. All right, back to Dan, the physician's email. I have always received my health care at the multi-specialty clinic where I worked. I'm planning on moving in the next year to a completely new location away from where I've lived and practiced for 25 years. I've never had to find a new doctor in the area. How do I do this? This is interesting. A doctor asking how to find a new doctor.
Because he is a doctor asking how to find a new doctor.
Yeah.
First of all, this is a really good question that does not have a simple answer. But generally what I tell people is if you know somebody in the area, the quick answer is ask them because they have an idea of who's good and who's not good.
Mm-hmm.
But let's assume you don't know anyone in the area. So first of all, if you're on the electronic medical record Epic, you know, which is homegrown in our area, I always say choose somebody. You want to choose a group that uses Epic. And the reason is they're going to have all your records from where you've been. And I think that's really important. So you've got, you know, all your records will be there. Paper records, we don't transfer anymore because nobody ever, frankly, if you had records that were like, you know, a few inches thick, you never went through them. It was really hard. So one way is to look at the electronic medical record because a group that has Epic on the whole is generally going to be a group that is more up to date. The next thing is you've got to find somebody who knows what they're doing or a reputation. So are they affiliated with the university? Do they have a teaching hospital that they go to? Because they're going to be, if they're working in a hospital that has residents that go through it, on the whole, they're going to be more up to date because that's really what you're looking for. One of the things you don't want to do is go to to Yelp or go to Facebook and base it on that. I mean, you can base a restaurant on that, but you're not going to base medical care on that because people who complain on the whole are the ones that are going to put it up there, or they may pay somebody to put good things on there. So the web is not going to give you an answer. Another thing to do, especially if you're older, is you can go to your local senior center in the town where you are and speak to the social worker there. Senior centers all over the country almost always have a social worker, and say, can you recommend a good medical group? And they may not recommend one. They may say, well, there are two or three that are good in town, and they may recommend it that way. So that's good, my best suggestion.
Good advice from a physician.
And I'm a physician.
You're a physician.
that's what I was going to say. I'm not a doctor. I'm a physician.
Are you looking for a physician? Maybe one who answers healthy living questions on a weekly radio show?
That's right. And who also may be a doctor.
Or maybe a doctor. Yeah. Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email.
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413. That's the number to call anytime. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we punch out today's Zorba, it's time for the segment where an honest-to-Pete doctor takes on the mighty, mighty internet. This is Google Doc.
I wish I had rhythm.
That's rhythm. I mean, it is a rhythm. I don't know if it's good rhythm, but it's rhythm.
It's rhythm.
There's rhythm happening.
Thank you. Thank you for the compliment.
The following email.
It's a nice compliment you give a doctor. Oh, no, a physician. I'm sorry. That's right.
The following email came from a listener named William in Toma, Wisconsin. William writes, Dear Zorba, I've read that most fried foods served in fast food restaurants are fried in seed oils like soybean oil or canola oil. I've also read that eating foods fried in such oils is not very healthy. Could you enlighten me? And, Zorba, do you eat foods fried in such oils?
Well, first of all, we use a lot of seed oil, cottonseed oil, you know, olive oils, olive a seed. No, olive is not a seed. But I don't think that you can say that fried foods and seed oils are bad for you. You know, it's really a function of what oils do you use. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the smoke rate and everything like that in terms of when the oil, you know, peanut oil tends to be a little bit higher with the smoke rate. Olive oil, the same thing. So, no, seed oils themselves are not bad at all. Fried foods, of course, are not good for you. Mm-hmm. And you know what's also not good for you?
Oh, there's the Little Debbie. He brought back the Little Debbie.
You know what?
I think
after 6 months,
I think it's been 3 or 4 months.
No, it has not. It has been 6 months.
Time
it has
is
not
flying
been
with
3 or 4
Debbie.
Months. And smell it. It's still got a little bit of a smell, but it's
still
not across
does.
The room.
Still
it has been
sweet.
6 months, and Little Debbie is just as strong as she ever was. And folks, we're going to keep her here for 1 year and see if she still
one
has
one year
that.
On the Little Debbie snack cake.
There we go, okay. Little Debbie.
Have a healthy living question for Zorba?
Or an unhealthy one. You can tell us.
Oil, bet you do.
Oh, God.
See what I did there? Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org. You're terrible, Carl.
Should we do this again next week, Zorba?
Let's try.
Okay,
let's try.
If you missed anything during the show or you just want to stream the show online anytime, visit us on the web
at zorbapastor.org or, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us
anytime.
To leave us your question at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen asking you to join us on the next
Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.